This is Lori Prox here with KBAK, and I have Mark Detter on the phone line with me of the City of Valdez, City Manager. Mark, thanks for joining me, and hopefully we'll get through a lot of info here today as you have a big council meeting scheduled for tonight, a large agenda, and a work session.
Yes, ma'am, a work session and a regular meeting with several items on it. You're correct.
All right, so we'll get right to it. One of the big items is face masks. There is a new business item for a public health mandate number 3 requiring protective masks or face coverings. So we know the council will be looking at that tonight, but can you explain the process? From my understanding, you as city manager, when the city council voted to create the Valdez Unified Command and go to that structure, that you kind of became the key point person in charge of making certain decisions. There's some information about what the council can make decisions on. I understand you brought this to the council, but who put it together?
Yeah, the Unified Command, which consists of Dan O'Connor, the president of the college, myself, and Jeremy O'Neill, the hospital administrator and mayor, in discussions with our section chiefs and command structure within the ICS team, came up with a recommendation on the masking in order to provide a little bit more assurance to the public when they went out that we were doing what we could to be protective of the general public when there's interaction. It appears we're opening things up a little bit more as things go along, and I think the general feeling in the room was that the masking would be an appropriate thing as we continue to have more public interaction.
And why do you feel a mandate? The governor explained very clearly last night why he has not issued it as a mandate, because the main reasons being he felt the state has been pretty compliant. He was worried about enforcement of that. So why do you feel like Valdez needs to make this a mandate?
I think that we think overall community safety would be better with it was the kind of thought there, and that if people were compelled to do it via a city council mandate, everyone would be more likely to do it. I think it also makes it so business owners who, you know, have people coming in and out of their business, you know, don't have to be on their own and trying to ask people to mask up and, you know, do the safe thing. So,
but they could.
They could. I think it's just a potentially difficult thing for them to do because, as you know, you have a business relationship with somebody and, you know, you as the business owner don't want to be forced to tell people to carry out public.
Have you had compliance issues?
In terms of masking?
Yeah. Well, I guess you don't have anything.
Yeah, it's
I mean, are people calling saying?
There are some people who have urged us to go further with it. You know, saying that when they go into a high traffic place that they notice a lot of people aren't masking.
And you were mentioning businesses. Do you have businesses on that committee? I noticed there's not that many on the Unified Command structure. How are you getting business input? You mentioned that's a concern.
Right. We have had some outreach from our economic development director to receive business input. We had a Friday luncheon a few weeks ago. But I will say this is primarily...
Yeah. I was on that. I don't recall that discussion there, just for the record.
But we have had some... mostly been general public concern about the issue.
And then Governor Dunleavy, of course, you know, it takes a while to schedule a meeting and have this, but, you know, a week ago, things changed so quickly. But last night, Dunleavy was very clear that time to open up Alaska, and that's where the state is going. So it would seem that the mandates by city council are not going in that direction. So is that of concern? I know you're the fishing agreement. I wanted to ask about the process of how that is coming to council as well. There's a sport and personal fishing agreement, and where did that come from?
And that situation goes back to the original travel mandate. And, you know, when Fish and Game last week announced that they were going to allow for personal and sport fishing, I was tasked with, in the original travel mandate, giving exceptions to, you know, those who didn't fall right under the essential infrastructure guidelines. So when I saw that come out, my thought was, well, we've got to find a way to accommodate this because Fish and Game has said that people are going to be allowed to do this, but yet it didn't fall within our travel mandate. So we started working on a form that we could have sport and personal fishers fill out to let us know exactly what was going to be going on and when they were coming to town, and we could advise them of our guidelines for our local mandates, because that's one of the things the Fish and Game criteria talked about was following local mandates. So it was a way to try to accommodate those folks who were coming to town, although we have the travel mandate in place, saying people have to quarantine for self-quarantine for 14 days upon arriving in Valdez.
And I know in this fishing agreement, the first, I think, five items are kind of derived from the state mandates, but there's distinct Valdez items. And I don't know what these are. It's because it's not a mandate, because the city council has not voted on this. It is an agreement. Number six is fisher shall not use city fish processing and photograph stations. No fisher may shelter or lodge. And by fisher, it's angler, I think, may shelter or lodge in Valdez or the Valdez Harbor. Sport or personal fishers must drop boat or launch boat in an expedited manner upon arriving in Valdez and depart the Valdez Harbor as soon as practicable. If you should re-enter Valdez Harbor after completing fishing, sport and personal fishers shall leave Valdez immediately. So these are not state mandates. These are Valdez city, I don't know what to call them, regulations that right. We're asking people from out of town to comply with, published in a document on Thursday night. And did that become effective immediately on Thursday night? With it was on port. There's a form for ports and on ports and right. harbors letterhead.
Well, yeah. It again, the response is from the original travel mandate, and again, accounting for the fact that that sport and personal fishers weren't included as essential infrastructure. We were trying to find a way to accommodate them. I think those last four criteria are similar to what we're dealing with commercial fishermen and process, mostly commercial fishermen.
Yeah, although states made it very clear there's kind of a, there needs to be a plan for the commercial processors, and then there was just a document that came out that made it pretty clear. It was kind of muddy for a while, but the state has final approval on those plans. The state's come out with a Alaska Small Community Emergency Travel Order, and that does allow some smaller communities to make rules such as these. However, Valdez would not be included in this because it does not apply to people who are on the road system or have a hospital. So in making these rules and putting them out to the public on Thursday night prior to, does the Valdez Unified Command, or do you as the city manager have the authority to do this? Because it does put regulations on public facilities and on a harbor that was built with state and federal funds.
Right. Again, my interpretation is under the travel mandate that the city manager has been asked to look at any exceptions to critical infrastructure that I have the authority right now. Now we are, you'll notice on tonight's agenda, we are putting that sports fisher criteria directly into the mandate. But in the situation that a particular business or individual doesn't fall under essential infrastructure, then the city manager was charged with trying to come up with some criteria and determining if somebody would be eligible for an exception under that criteria. So that's what we were trying to do last week. Hopefully tonight.
All right. And so in putting it out and having the port start implementing this, you don't feel that the council needed to approve this document before?
Well, not under the current travel mandate with what's been charged to the city manager.
But those last six items aren't covered under the state travel mandate. Those are things that the city came up with. So maybe we should go there. I don't know who came up with those. So that's what people are wondering as well. So who put that document together? Who was on that committee?
Well, the Unified Command oversaw it and has been working with our ports and harbor staff and other city staff to come up with those criteria. Again, this was in a response to try to accommodate sport and personal fishermen coming into Valdez with our current travel mandate, particularly the self-quarantining. So we've been, multiple staff worked on the document. I started creating a document last week that I had the city attorney review, and then we got harbor staff and other folks involved and, you know, talk with the Unified Command some about what we were trying to accomplish. The specifics were looked over by staff. So,
did you have any business people or charter boats input on this?
Not yet, no. Except for the fact that some of those criteria do come from commercial, working with commercial fishing fleets to put things in place. So
why bring it to the city council as a mandate if you've already put it out there and you have?
Well, we're trying to make sure that now that we're updating this, because the travel mandate was approved for 30 days and we're renewing it tonight, that issues like this that have come across that the Fish and Game group put forth, that sport and personal fishing could go on. We didn't know that when we originally adopted this. So we're trying to put that within the mandate as it's renewed and get that out to everybody as we speak.
This, like, you know, as the ports and harbor, have they actually had people, because I called, I think, on Friday, and no one was there to answer the phone. So are people actually launching their boats? Are they filling out?
Yeah,
have you had forms filled out?
We've had some people coming to town, and I know we've been reviewing this. I had someone email me this week and come down and wanted to fill out the form and ask a few questions. So I had some personal interaction with people who are wanting to know about bringing their boat and that type of thing. So we've had some interactions with people. So could I just have a chance, Lori, to talk to you a little bit about what the Unified Command has been up to, the ICS team has been up to, particularly in these last couple weeks? We're working right now with the fish processors to design a mutual aid agreement.
But, you know, we have a lot of people interested in the sport fishing, so could we finish that? Because I did want to ask you a little bit about input, and then move on to commercial fishing?
Yeah, and the rest of the Unified Command and what we're doing and what we're going to talk about
tonight. Okay, because I know the city council will be voting, and the mandate does have a little bit different wording, but I did want to double check. You said the legal team, Brenna Bell and Clarkson, has reviewed that mandate.
Right. They put together both the mask mandate and the travel mandate. Helped put together the original travel health mandate, and also put together the mask mandate.
Okay.
With staff input.
And the way that it is worded, is there? It has a far-reaching impact on many, many businesses here in Valdez. So the ability for people to have public input, which has not been available really at city council meetings for the last month due to social isolation, people can walk into the council chambers, but there is just 10 people. So I know if people have gone down to provide public input, and then, you know, one person had to leave, and they could have public input. So that's a possibility. There also is, there was just developed yesterday a email address. People can always email their council people and find those numbers. But just yesterday, and it's testimony@valdezak.gov. So
you got it.
You
right.
have to get that information, and I have that announced on the radio, and at 3 p.m. by 3 p.m. And so I'm not 100% clear whether those will be read at the meeting, but I know the council members will have access, according to Sherry Pierce. So council members will see that. Yeah. But will you announce that, people's comments?
We will get them to council members, and we'll let the council decide if they want to read each one of those individual comments. But we will get that in front of council. They will have that input. I know as of yesterday, we had, I think approaching 10 comments on a couple things, including the economic stimulus.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
The economic benefit, the economic assistance.
And then there, to that end also, we did confirm yesterday that we will broadcast on KVAK 1230 AM. The work session as well as the regular meeting at 7 o'clock. So the work session discussion will be City of Valdez COVID-19 relief and recovery and then emergency mandate. So a lot of information to cover in that. And I did check, they'll be mic'd up. So hopefully we can get you that. I have somebody sitting here to adjust volumes, make sure it's all good. But you guys also will be having that on. If people go to City of Valdez agendas, go to the agenda page, you can watch the video. So it's a little, you do have to open the agenda and then you'll find the link to actually see the telecast, I guess it's called, of the meeting. So those are just ways folks can have public input in this time of physical distancing. So just wanted to make sure we covered that.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the sport fishing. We put out a lot of information with links, not really drawing any conclusions, but just so people could have information and access and links in our email newspaper. And so you can go find the archive of that also on, if you go to our homepage, bottom right, it's called eNews Archive, and you can go read the history. But there's just links to a lot of the city documents that will be referenced. And as well, you can go through the city council agenda. There are links on the agenda page as well. You can go there. So with that said, just wanted to make sure we gave people an opportunity for public comment, and they knew how to do that. So on to commercial fishing. Now, I understand because I've done interviews with Dr. Todd, there was a little confusion over who had provided input or whatever and concern that the doctors weren't involved. But last I spoke with her last week, she said Dr. Cullen had been attending meetings. I know I spoke with Colby Bolton, who is one of the folks from Peter Pan Seafoods here. He said they're very interested. That's why they did the open letter to the community in trying to work with the community. So where the state said we're making the final decision, I think there is some latitude behind the scenes. And this is where I'm glad that I finally got a chance to speak, have a spokesperson from Valdez Unified Command to talk about, what is happening behind the scenes. Because although we know the state's going to make the final determination, it sounds like there is some work and collaboration on a local level with the commercial fishing plans.
Yeah, we have had a couple of groups involved. Our operations section chief, which is also our police chief, Bart Hinkle, and our ports and harbor director, Jeremy Talbot, have been working very closely with the fish processors, not only giving a little input on what they submitted to the state for their plans, but we also will have a local Valdez mutual aid agreement with both of these processors, just on the way things are going to be conducted in Valdez and the types of things they'll be doing to safeguard.
Can you share some of those with us, just because we have no idea?
Well, in terms of the fish processing, we're going to try to keep the processors over in that area, the peninsula. As it happens, South Harbor Drive is going to have a major street construction project this year. So we're trying to make sure that the road is closed off and the ability to go in and out of the South Harbor Drive area is well controlled. Obviously SERS will have to get in there and go over and work. But that's, some of those details, because obviously the health, the social distancing, that's going to be asked for with the workers and all the other testing and screening their workers coming in. That's part of an extensive state plan, but we want to make sure that we understood how the workers were going to be conducting themselves within the city. So, you know, how access is granted within that area and how people going in and out is controlled was a big deal. And I think the police chief and the Ports and Harbor director have done a great job doing that. And as well, Lori, we've been working with our commercial fishing people on understanding they have to quarantine when they come into Valdez, and they've been kind of segregated in the harbor for that quarantine section. So those are some of the big things, particularly in terms of keeping social distancing, making sure the local quarantine is guidelines are observed. And that's been our major emphasis for the local agreement, whereas I think the state plan has really been more focused on how the workers are going to and the fish processors are going to conduct their business and try to provide adequate health and safety remedies to their employees. So we've kind of been focusing on the local issues that we think are going to come up. And the state plan, which we've had some input on and our doctors have had input on, is really focusing on the internal health issues of the employees and the fish processors.
Now, will that put a strain on our medical, and I can ask Dr. Todd this as well, you know, as written or where the plan is going, will this put a strain on our local Valdez Medical Clinic? I know in general it does, but with all these additional requirements for screening, who's footing the bill for that, or how is that going to work?
Our understanding is the processors are going to work very hard at providing some of their own medical assistance to their employees. Now, obviously, at any point, at a certain point, if someone gets hurt badly, they'll need access to critical care. But if your typical, you know, COVID symptoms break out, our understanding is they're going to provide the medical review and assistance to those employees to make sure they don't have to immediately burden our healthcare system.
All right. And how do you expect to communicate this, or do you feel that the public needs to understand what this plan is or what you're working on?
You know, the state plan itself is really up to the state to release or...
And it's fairly easy to, you know, the state is fairly easy to decipher or to go find information on their site.
Right.
And then any press release I get, which I get plenty, it clearly states at the top of the letterhead, Department of Health and Social Services or Fish and Game, you know, which department that's coming from. There's a contact person and a contact name, as well as the department information. But from the City of Valdez information, I'm getting information on masks and emotional, how to handle your emotional status from the Valdez Unified Command. But this, you know, when you're working on things behind the scenes, but is the city entitled, you know, are the citizens, should they know? Do you feel like they have a right to look at what you're working on? Is there a document that you can produce that people can?
Yeah, I think ultimately when we have this mutual aid agreement and we're just in the final stages of getting that signed off between the city and the processors, that we will post that so people can take a look at what we've done, post that on our, of course, provide to local radio, but also post that on our local website. So they will have some access to see the local operating standards we've come up with. And I think it's a very thorough document. And as soon as we can get that signed, we're just in the final stages of that. We'll get that out to the public as well.
And with all these mandates as well, enforcement, I know that's a concern. I hear understand that one of the sport fishermen called the police department to ask, well, what if I violate this fishing agreement? That's not yet a mandate. And they were told that there could be a fine of up to $25,000. So I know that's a concern. You know, are you enforcing people with a face mask? So, and I know that was the council's reluctance to actually pass a mandate initially, was just making sure, and the police department actually got up and spoke, you know, hey, we need to really think through the enforcement issue of this before we put a mandate into place. So in this case, it's not a mandate. It's so I guess the question is, if it is just something that you, as the unified head of the unified command and the city manager, took the executive power that you were granted by the council and put this out to restrict access and for the harbor. What is the city? You're the only one you're the only one who can direct city staff. So are you directing law enforcement to enforce the I guess the face mask is not a mandate yet, and that hasn't been put out. But on the sport fishing, are you direct? How is the law enforcement dealing with that now? I know they're taking phone calls.
Right, and just to go back and talk a little bit about the way they've been enforcing the travel mandate. You know, we've gotten great compliance with that, and I really feel like it's after the council passed the travel mandate, cooperation has been outstanding with our citizens. And, you know, that's why we have no cases in Valdez, is that our citizenry has been very responsible and complying with what the council has asked of them and been very cooperative in doing it. But so is our police department in working with people whenever we had a discussion. So if, you know, we have any discussions with sport or personal fishermen who come from out of town, I think they're going to occur in the same manner they've been occurring with the travel mandate over the last month or so, that, you know, we have discussions. Our police department is great with our local citizenry. They're great when people come into town. And I just think there's some good conversation that goes on. And the idea of fining anyone or anything like that really hasn't been something we've had to act upon. We've gotten great compliance. People understand the health importance of this. Again, with no cases in Valdez, it's just been a very good situation for us. And we're just very fortunate that it's worked the way it has so far. And we would believe that the sports fisher people will, for sports and personal fisher folks coming to town, will have the same compliance and understanding of what we're trying to accomplish.
And I think there are a lot of folks from, you know, especially the Fairbanks area, that consider Valdez their second home. They have boats in the harbor. So what are some of the questions those people are calling the harbor department and you to ask? I've seen a lot of questions, and there is some confusion over this personal fishing agreement as it's presented now. And then, there's a little bit different information in the mandate. So, and I think from there, where do you go in presenting this? You know, I think the wording is, you know, leave immediately. So is there a sensitivity or an awareness of public relations in this? And, you know, at some point we're going to have to recover with the economy. So how Valdez speaks to Fairbanksans and to people outside of our community that have so graciously supported so many of our businesses here, is that how do you address that?
Well, I think it's just as we've been trying to address our local citizenry for the last month, is we want to make the expectations clear of what the any mandate that's in effect says, but at the same time we want to be conscientious of these are citizens who support us locally, and we're trying every day, Lori, to try to get the messaging correct on all this. As you know, it's been a very difficult situation. I mean, nobody could have ever, I certainly didn't when I took the job, having to deal with a pandemic within my first 6 months of being city manager. So that has been, our messaging has tried to be as thorough as possible in terms of explaining the various rules we have, but at the same time, we've been trying to work with people and send them a message that, hey, we're here to help. We want to keep the public safe, and, you know, that's been the way we've been trying to do things. And we'll continue to work on the messaging and trying to let people know that while we're trying to have these local guidelines for safety and public health, we're also interested in continuing to work with people and make sure that they can go about their daily lives and do the business they need to do.
Well, and some of these will definitely affect business. No fisher may shelter or lodge in Valdez or the Valdez Harbor. And, you know, right now that makes sense. But I think for a lot of the businesses that are planning, you know, Stan Stevens, one of our biggest tourism providers, has, you know, pushed back their season. So this doesn't have a, the personal fishing agreement doesn't have a date or an expectation. It's kind of a little, you know, where the state's trying to open up, the city is putting on some more requirements and restrictions. So how do you address,
remember, a business that's trying to plan for the summer?
The personal fishing,
form comes back to the travel mandate, and as long as the travel mandate's in effect, then we're going to have something for the allowance of sport and personal fishers. Now, you know, we have another 30 days on this tonight. If the council elects to keep the travel mandate in place, it'll be reconsidered again, I believe, at the May 19th meeting.
Although the state travel mandate, when does that run out? I'm sorry, I don't have that in front of me.
I thought they were supposed to be considering that today, and that may come out.
But that's close to running out. So effectively,
right,
the city is taking their mandate, the state's mandate, where the state might just let that drop. The city is effectively not only imposing more restrictions, but also extending the state's mandate with this mandate if it passes. So to that end, you know, that you are in control, you as the Valdez Unified Command, taking these actions of when Valdez opens up. And it's I don't know that there's a mandate end date. You know, the end date is important for planning. If people
the unified
are planning
command
to have a recovery.
Not in control in the mandates. The city council is in control in determining whether or not we have a...
Although the stuff in the agreement's already been implemented. So the city council effectively... I don't know that it even matters if they pass the mandate or not.
Yeah, I mean, we could go over this multiple times. But again, the original travel mandate called for the city manager to determine who is critical infrastructure, and that was the only exception to the quarantining. So that's been a result of that. So, yeah, no, I think after we consider this tonight, we'll have some more rules in place, and we'll be able to explain that. Can I, you know, talk about a couple more things that the Unified Command's involved with?
Mm-hmm.
So we have been working with several people, including medical people, to set up an alternative care site at the high school hoping this doesn't happen, but in case the hospital can't handle a outbreak of patients coming in, we have been working on having an alternative care site at the hospital. So that's been set up. Plus, we have secured lodging for people if we happen to have COVID people who are infected within the community who can't stay within their own homes. We'll have that alternative. Then this isn't directly related to the Unified Command, but we have had a small group of a couple council members and some city staff working on the original recommendations for the economic relief and assistance, and we're going to be talking about a potential distribution to individuals from the community from this year's permanent fund distribution, where we might get a per person or per household assistance, and then we'll talk about hopefully helping people with relief with the some of the city fees that are in place. We've already put a current suspension of any interest and penalties on water and sewer bills. I think we're going to probably recommend action is taken next week to do the same thing with other city fees. And then ultimately, we'd like to form a committee that considers the economic impact of COVID to the entire community and looks at some longer-term issues of how we can help businesses and individuals that have been affected on a more targeted basis. So, you know, we've had a couple of things going on. Unified Command has been very involved in trying to protect the community, but we've also had some work going on with city staff and a couple council members on trying to plan for the recovery as well.
And that is also in our KVAK email newspaper. There was an article outlining the recovery and what's proposed. So at this point, there's a proposal from Nate Duvall on how much is the amount? 900 something? So there's different amounts, but in the neighborhood there.
It depends on whether we do it per household or per person.
And different calculations. And I know from Nate and going through the energy assistance, there are a lot of strings attached with government dollars and how, you know, precedents that you're setting. So that's of concern and something the council will have to weigh this evening.
Right. We're hoping this first round of assistance, though, can wind up being something that everybody in the community can take part in. And, you know, the longer thought of then targeting it will take more conversation and, you know, decide those things. But I think the council plans on getting a committee of people who are involved in business. And, you know, but that is probably a 3 or 4 month process.
All right. And then also designs on the agenda tonight. I used to do interviews. I do interviews with the superintendent prior to each meeting. And I used to do with John Hosey interviews talking about what's on the council agenda. So let's go ahead and do that. That would be a good thing to do. We talked about the mandates plenty. And then also there are some new business items, pavement management plan, $1 million. So tell us about that. Is that...
That's part of an overall $15 million project that you had mentioned Nate Duvall, and he can give you more information on the overall project. But as you know, the voters voted last year to approve a bond issue that would do major street reconstruction on Meals, Egan, South Harbor Drive, and out in Robe River. So we've been, you know, putting together contracts with our engineers and plan on putting things out to bid. We think we've got a good shot at some good prices, but we're continuing business on that bond issue.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how does COVID-19 affect that? You know, will we see road construction crews? Is that all moving ahead as usual? And
yeah,
I know some of that state, but...
Right. That will go forth in Valdez, and we're going to have a lot of work with our local contractors to make sure they're complying with our rules. In fact, those have been some of the critical infrastructure exceptions and exemptions I've been reviewing and working with city staff to make sure the contractors who are coming to town understand our safety precautions and our local rules.
And also the fire station, there's a $15.5 million contract on the agenda tonight for that. And that's moving ahead on schedule?
Yes. Nate Duvall has been working with that as well. And we have a general manager of the contract who's working with us to get contractor pricing. But last week we had a work session that Nate showed a plan to keep that within for construction, the $16 million budget, and that's going to be talked about and that contract be approved tonight.
Also, purchase of a 325-gallon sewage pump-out system. That does not sound like fun.
No, that's just a necessary maintenance tool for our sewer system, and, you know, this is the less glamorous part of local government, but obviously a necessity.
All right, and also future of City of Valdez parcels and airport industrial subdivision. So work still continuing on housing development as well.
Right. And, you know, and in that particular case, we've had some people interested in doing business activity out there, and we just want to have a discussion with the council on how they would like to offer city land for either lease or sale.
Is there anything else you want to address regarding city functions or the agenda tonight? I know it's very challenging for everybody involved to try to do things as remotely as possible and deal with COVID in addition to regular duties. I just interviewed 16 high school seniors yesterday in the middle of my day because that's what we do via the phone, usually not via the phone. So that made it more challenging. But life kind of goes on. And so anything more on the agenda or city?
No, I think we've covered the major issues, obviously, that we're discussing. But I just, want to put out to the public that, you know, not only are we involved in this emergency management and incident command situation, but we are maintaining the normal activities. And the assistant city administrator, Roxanne Murphy, has, stayed in charge of operations while I've been really focused on this COVID issue. Of course, Nate is my deputy within the Unified Command, and he's obviously the assistant city manager of Ports and Harbor Facility. But our staff has been great during this whole thing. Anything we've asked them to do related to managing the emergency, they've stepped up and done it. So I'm just really proud of all the work that the staff has done and everybody's done as far as the incident command goes.
And definitely City of Valdez employees, like everyone in town, there are our friends and neighbors. And so I appreciate, I think one thing we've tried to do here is to put a face on COVID-19. So, you know, having Dr. Todd in here, I can't even tell you how many people said, hey, thank you for making that connection. And instead of numbers and you know, me reading information, having the opportunity to just talk with somebody that they know, you know, same thing with the superintendent, getting information about schools and, you know, the state of Alaska. I've been interviewing Dave Searin for the last 3 weeks. So I would love to have you come back with periodic updates because, you know, behind the scenes, we know things are going on. There are a lot of committees, a lot of meetings, but having an opportunity to have somebody, you know, so I don't know what questions to ask, but having somebody kind of let us know some of the things happening, I think is great for the community to know and to put a bit of a face on this. And
right, and I think that's an excellent idea. And of course, I always would encourage you to talk to our council members, our mayor. They've all been very involved and very helpful in this situation. So yeah, no, I'm always willing to talk.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for coming on, and you've got a busy night tonight, so
yep.
I better let you at it.
Thank you, Laurie.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Bye-bye.